was easy.
You got it.
That wasn't easy.
I like those There's nobody there?
We left off last week in Chul and Daf Lamed Omid Beis. In the Mishnah, we got the Lamed Aleph and Aleph. So the Mishnah, we'll start again the Mishnah, Lamed Omid Beis. Ashaykh and Shnei Roshan Ke'echad, he has two behemoths, one next to the other. He has a long knife, and it cuts in such a way that he shecht in both behemoths. So the Mishnah says, B'di'evet, Shchitosek Sheh. What kind of B'di'evet? What's wrong with Chathchilet to shecht like that? So the Gemara said earlier in the beginning of the Perek that the Mishnah is going about behemoths kotchim. That you learn out from the psukim, tiz bachu hu. The tzonchem says in the pasuk, if you bring a korban shlamim, the tzonchem tiz bachu hu. So you should shecht only one at a time. So that's a din lechatchila and b'di'evet, it's not miyakim. Usually in kotchim, whenever you have a pasuk that you shouldn't do something, so the Gemara says it only means lechatchila, but if you want to say that it's even possible b'di'evet, you have to have the din repeated. That's called Shin Olav HaKosav L'Yakev. If the Pasuk repeats it a second time, then you know it's even L'Yikuva. But here it only says once, Tiz Bachu Hu, L'Zev L'Alach, you shouldn't Shech Tu, B'Vasachas, so that's only L'Chatchila. So that line in the Mishnah goes on Shech HaShnei Roshim, B'di'ev Shechitel Shech is on Kotchim. And on Chulan it's even Mutter L'Chatchila. Unless you're afraid the animals are going to jump around. But we're talking, someone's holding down the animal that it shouldn't jump around. Two people holding on to the Gemara on the previous daf, on Lamed Amud Aleph and Lamed Amud Beis, the Gemara had two pshatim. Two people are shechting. Afila echel lamayla bechel lamata. One is shechting higher up on the neck, one is shechting lower down on the neck, with two different knives. So as soon as one of them reaches roiv of the simen, then shechitosik sheira. I, but the other one is shechting at the same time, doesn't pose a problem. So that was a machlokes, whether that poses a problem. So how can it be a machlokes? It's a beferish mishnah. So the one who says that you need shechita meforas, it's no good. Two people are shechting at two different elevations, two different locations. He learned shnei machtem esak and two people holding on to the same knife. I, but it's a zechel lamayla vechel lamata. The Gemara says no, he's cutting diagonally. So one is holding on to one end, one is holding on the other end, and they're shechting together. So that's shechitosik sheira. L'chatchila by kotchim, you're not supposed to do that either. You're supposed to have one person shecht, you shouldn't have two people shecht, and you shouldn't shecht two karbonis at the same time. So the Mishnah, the Gemara said on Daf Chavtes, at the Mishnah, the first line of the Mishnah goes on kotchim, and the second line also goes on kotchim. Shnai mochsim misakim is only good b'di'evit l'chatchila, it's not proper. Okay, so that we discussed. Then hitis is harosh, that's what we're up to in the Gemara. Hitis is harosh, b'vasach takes a knife, and he cuts off the knife, he cuts off the neck of the animal, he completes the whole shechita, instead of fiddling back and forth several times, in one shot, in one pull or in one push. So then, psula, hitis is harosh, hitis doesn't really mean he's fiddling back and forth, hitis harosh means he chops down. He takes a knife, he pushes down. So he pushes down, that's drosla. That's one of the chomish al cheshchitas, then you have to cut back and forth. Or yeshochet, v'hitis as harosh b'vasachas. What if he is cutting sideways, and he succeeds in cutting the whole neck of the animal with one swoop? He doesn't have to fiddle back and forth. Or yeshochet means moshech back and sideways. And while he's cutting sideways, he succeeds in cutting the hitis harosh b'vasachas. So then the Mishnah says it depends. Sometimes I'll declare that it's drasa, sometimes not. So when is it good? Yesh b'sakim v'loy tzavor k'sheira. What do you mean? What do the words mean? So the Gemara said, that's what we're up to in the Gemara. So the Gemara says what it means is, let's say the thickness of the neck is a big fat cow, let's say it's 8 inches. So if the knife is 16 inches long, and you started from the beginning of the knife, and you had all 16 inches to cut the head, and you succeeded in shechting the whole head with the use of the whole knife. Not that you cut the whole head in the first 8 inches. You cut the head in the first 8 inches, I mean, you only cut down. You weren't really cutting sideways. But if you use the whole length of the knife, and the length of the knife is twice the width of the neck of the animal. So that means that you were cutting sideways at the same time that you were pushing down. No, that's what shechita is supposed to be. It's supposed to cut sideways and place pressure to cut down. So then it says that it's kshev. The same thing where Yeshechet is shechting sideways. The heat is Shnei Roshim Ibasad, he's shechting two animals. So then you need that in each animal, let's say the thickness, the width of the neck is 8 inches, then another animal 8 inches, then there's a space in between. Two animals are not neck to neck. So let's say you have 8 inches and then a hafsoka of 10 inches in between, and then another 8 inches, and then you have, the knife has another 8 inches after that. So then if you cut sideways and you use the entire knife to cut everything, that means you were cutting sideways at the same time that you were placing pressure down. So then it's going to be kosher. Or you shechet, the heat is, that's by the tiny lamed. Or you shechet, cutting, shechet means sideways. V'hit is shnei rashim v'asach, then you have to have a miyesh b'sakin, m'loy tzavar echot k'sher, means you have extra. The knife has, in addition to having the length of the knife, is not only the thickness of the one head, the thickness of the other head, an empty space in between, but it's also sticking out before you start a shecht, an additional 8 inches, so then it's k'sher. When is this an issue? If he cut the whole neck by going in one direction, he only pulled or he only pushed. So then you have to have a very long knife. What if he keeps on pushing back and forth? No, so then that doesn't matter. Then it's fine. Then it's not going to be dross. When is there an issue? And we have to have such a long knife. As much heavy, he's only pushing and not pulling. He only pulled in and didn't push. Avol. But if he cuts fiddles back and forth, so then there's no minimum length of the afilu koshahu, even if the knife is not so long. Afilu bizemel is also ksheva. So now the Gemara is just going to explain that line when it says hayishcheche dehita sarosh b'masachas miyesh b'sakim maloit tzavar. It's unclear. What do you mean? The whole length of the knife is maloit tzavar. The whole knife is only 8 inches long. So how does that help? The Gemara says no. It has an extra 8 inches. That's the Gemara. Amar Rab Zeira, that's on the top of Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, around 10 lines from the top. Amar Rab Zeira, Pshat in the Mishnah is, Melot Tzavra v'chutz l'tzavra. You have to have, the knife should be the length of the neck, the length of the knife should be the width, the thickness of the neck, 8 inches, plus. And you have to have plus. So now the shayla is plus how much? Iboy Luhu, they're not sure what did Rab Zeira mean. Did he mean, Melot Tzavra v'chutz l'tzavra, can Melot Tzavra need 8 inches plus another 8 inches? Tav Luhu Trey Tzavari? So the length of the knife should be 16 inches. Maybe it just means you should have a little bit more than the length, a little more than the width of the neck. When you fiddle back and forth, you're always placing pressure down. That's how you do shechita. You always have to pressure down. So the shaila is, how much do you have to fiddle back and forth? Is it enough if it's just slightly the length of the knife is slightly more than the width of the neck, just a little bit more, and shine, that's ready enough fiddling back and forth? Or do you have to have more? You have to have, the knife should be twice, the length of the knife should be twice the thickness of the neck. So that was the Gemara Shaila. So Gemara says, Toshma, let's see. It says in the Mishnah, the next line in the Mishnah we just read, Hayashachet, Yishachting, Abayim, Vihitishnei Rashim, Vasachas, he shechts two heads at the same time. Yesh l'sakim aloit tzavar echot kosher. If the length of the knife is the width of one neck, aloit tzavar echot kosher. So what do the words mean? My aloit tzavar echot. How do you translate the words? Ileima. If you should say that's the whole length of the knife, aloit tzavar echot v'su loit. Those are the ganze length of the knife. Yeah, but you shecht in two necks. You have two necks, and you have they're not neck to neck. You have 10 inches in between. You have two animals, probably more, probably 2 feet in between. You have two animals, big fat animals, standing next to each other. So the thickness of one neck is 8 inches, thicker than the other neck, and then probably 3 feet in between. So you have to have a very long knife. So how can it be only maloy tzavar? The length of the knife is only the width of one neck. V'sulo, how can it be? Hashda bebei ma'achas bina maloy tzavar v'chutz l'tzavar. If you shecht in one animal and you did it with one pulling or one pushing, you need that the knife should be longer than the thickness of one neck. It has to be at least mashu longer. So if you shecht in two behemoths, basachas, sagiluk and maloy tzavar echad, it can't be. Elabshita, obviously, in that line in the Mishnah, what does it mean? It means maloy tzavar chutz l'shnei tzavar. It means in addition to the thickness of the two necks and the empty space in between, the 2 or 3 feet in between. You have to have another 8 inches and a shmamino. That's what it means. So that shows, that sheds light on the previous line. When you shecht in one animal, so it says, and you shechted it with one pull or with one push, you have to have the length of the knife should be meloit savor, means you have to have an additional 8 inches, not just a mashu humo. Sure.
That's the wrong line.
Yeah. Then the Mishnah said, the last section of the Mishnah, Bamedvar Mamurim, when do we have all these details? If you shechted the neck or the two animals, Bavasachas, by only pulling or by only pushing. But if you have one behemoth and you're shechting and fiddling back and forth, so then there is no minimum length that the knife has to be, even if it's a razor blade and it's only 2 inches. You keep on shechting by the corner of the razor all day long. So then there's no minimum length that it has to be. If you're cutting back and forth, then there's no issue of joss. So that's the caption. But medvarm is mashu hilchos v'lo hevi, only shechted the whole neck with one action. But if he goes back and forth, then Mishnah says, even if it's tiny like izemel, afilu koshu, even if the length of the knife is only kosher, afilu izemel is also kosher. So what do you mean izemel? So the Gemara, in the days of the Gemara, Rashi explains, they used to have knives that they used to have at this horns hanging out on the sides that when you're cutting a piece of meat, they're cutting an animal, shechting an animal, these knives on the side can get caught in the flesh. So the Gemara says the Mishnah has to be talking an izemel she'en lo kanayim, because if you have an izemel that has things sticking out on the side, so that can make it into a trefa, that can make it into an avela. If that's going to get caught in the neck, it can ruin the whole shechita. So it's a chiddush in the Mishnah. The Mishnah must be talking an izemel that doesn't have any side things to it. Should only have the blade of one blade of the izemel. Shouldn't have any more blades. And you're not chayshesh if you allow the sheikha to use an izemel, that he may use an izemel that has these horns, that has these attachments on the side. You're not geyser an izemel she'en lo kanayim, or to an izemel she'esh lo kanayim. So that's what Menashe says. The Mishnah is obviously talking izemel she'en lo kanayim. So that's what Menashe says. Amar le Rav de Rav Ivyo le Rav Menashe. So he points out to him, machtamai, what if you have a needle? What if you don't have an izemel? Can you shech with a needle and cut back and forth? So he says, what are you talking about? How can you shecht with a needle? A needle doesn't cut. A needle scratches. That's no good. You have to have a razor blade. Okay. Razor blade has an inch and a half or whatever. So there's a knife. But over here, it's not cutting. It's scratching. Amalei, machta, machat. A needle is mibza baza. That's going to rip. That's scraping. It's ripping. It's tearing. That's not shechita. Shad, what about machta du vishkofei mai? What about they used to have ushkofe, or the tanners, people who work with hides? So they used to have needles that were very fat, and they had a thickness on the bottom. They had a little bit of a blade on the bottom. What about over there? So Malay, so Rabbi Nasha answers, Tanina. We see in the Mishnah, Afila kol shehu, the Mishnah says, even if it's the size is kol shehu. So what is it referring to? Problem, my love, machta du ushkofe. Must be that it's talking about that kind of a needle that the tanners, that the people who work with hides use, that has a very small blade on the bottom. Gemara says, not necessarily so. Gemara, no. Izemel. Maybe the Mishnah is only talking, izemel means a tiny knife. Tiny knife, but maybe the other one, the machta dushka, maybe it's not wide enough. Frag the Gemara, what do you mean? Afilu kol shehu is referring to an izemel, but the last line in the Mishnah says, Afilu kol shehu, afilu izemel. So they're two different things. So it's the last word in the Mishnah was afilu izemel is kosher. Afilu kol shehu is something other than izemel. So that's the Gemara's kasha. Izemel behed yuktani lo. After the Gemara name, Pirusha kamaforish. The Mishnah, it's an apposition. When it says afilu kol shehu, afilu izemel, it's not two different things. Afilu kol shehu is chidush A, afilu izemel is B. No. Afilu kol shehu kam, afilu izemel is the interpretation. It's the explanation of what it means. Kosher. Kosher doesn't mean a needle, and it doesn't mean the needle of the hide, the tanners. Means an izemel, a tiny little knife. But you should come before us. My kosher izemel. Chanami mistaber has to be the pshat. Why? If you're going to tell me you think that even smaller than an Izemel is also good. How can it be? So what do you have to say Izemel is good? Hashta machto dush kofi shari. You fill out a shecht with that needle. It has a little bit of a thickness on the bottom. It's not just a point on the bottom. It has a 16th of an inch or an 1/8 of an inch on the bottom. Izamel and boy, so of course Izamel is good. So the Gemara says, no. Maybe it's not true. You can't really prove in the Mishnah. It's not necessarily Purusha Kim Forish. Maybe Kol Shehu tells me that Machta Dushkofi is good. If that's good, so what, it's a Chiddush by Izamel? No, I would have thought that there are two kinds of Izamel. There is an Izamel Sheishlo Karnaim. Sometimes an Izamel has other points on the side, which you're not allowed to use for Shechita, because that may make it an Avela, that may make it a Trefa, that may make a hole in the neck before you get to complete the Shechita. So one would have thought, one might have thought there's a local reason why Izamel shouldn't be good, even though the Izamel has a wider blade on the bottom than the Machta Dushkov. So maybe Kamash Malach. So the Gemara says you can't tell. Okay, we're makbid about this. The knives have to be long. What's the din of Shechita? So the Mishnah has, next Mishnah, the famous din, that for Shechita you need Koyach Gavra. The Gemara is going to have later, the Gemara is going to have more details about this, that you need Koyach Gavra. Nafla Sakin, the person put the knife on the table, and then it was by accident, whatever, he's moving, he's walking, and the knife fell down, and it happened to Shecht that such a heavy knife and such a chicken on the floor was tied down on the floor, and the knife, when it fell down, did a perfect job of Shechita. Afal Pishu Shechti Kedarki, even though it did a perfect Shechita Psula. Why? Because the Nikoach Gavra has to be a Maisa Ha'adam. So that's not called Koach Gavra. Shenema V'Zabachta V'Chalto, the implication is, Ma'ashata Zavechata Oichal. You have to have a Maisa Ben Adam. That's a lack of Koach Gavra. The Gemara has that expression. With the bow, yeah. If you throw a knife, yeah. You throw the knife, that's Koach Gavra, yeah. But this is a lack of Koach Gavra.
If he tilts the table,
that'll also be good. That'll also be Koach Gavra. If he leaves a knife on the table and he tilts it, that's also called Koach Gavra, yeah.
Is he pillowing back and forth, though? Here he's not doing it.
If it's done properly, okay, shouldn't be drasa, shouldn't be shia. If it does the perfect shchita, yeah. Has to be Koach Gavra. Let's say if he tilts the table, the knife is over there, he didn't even realize that there was a knife. He just tilts the table accidentally, and accidentally it falls off. Let's say if the wind blows the knife off, so that's a lack of Koach Gavra. What if the person, he did the Maisa Shechita, he tilted the table without realizing that there was a knife. So that's, in Shulchan Aruch, that's a suffix from the Rashba. Maybe if he did, even though it is Koach Adam, but he didn't realize that he was a... The Gemara in Bava Kamma has a case. A person has a knife on his lap, and he fell asleep, and he forgot all about it. He wakes up and he stands up, and then the knife falls off of his lap, and it makes a hezek. So that's the din. Adam Wadli Yolo. So Adam Amazig, even Bishoigig, has to pay a nezek. You don't say Tsai Ripa, Shevis, and Boshes. You don't pay when it's like that, such a shoigig, but nezek you do pay. So that's a shaila. Would that be called Kerach Gavra? Because he got up, so because he got up, that's why the knife did the shechita. But he didn't even realize he was a masasi. He didn't even realize that there was a knife on his lap. So that's a sofik in the Rashba. See, the Gemara had before, the Gemara had a din. The fellow's throwing a knife to hit a target. He wasn't even interested in getting a bird. And a bird happened to go fly by, and it did a perfect shechita, far-fetched case. So that's good. Even though he didn't have kavana to hit the bird, that's okay because... To use Rabbi Soloveitchik's lotion, at least he did a teleological act. He wanted to do something. He wanted to throw the knife to hit the target. But here he didn't even have kavanas asiya. This is mamish mesasik. He got up. He was sleeping the whole time. He gets up. He didn't realize. He forgot that he has a knife on his lap. And then it rolls over. So that's a sofik in the Rashba. Is that called Koach Gavra or not? The Gemara has the concept, the term. Koach Gavra appears in the Gemara in three different places here. Then by Netilas Yadayim and Chulin, oh, this is Chulin. We learned it in Perikol Abasa. We learned about Netilas Yadayim. So if you want to eat bread, you have to have Netilas Yadayim with a Koach Gavra.
Mm-hmm. What if I have a rotating blade and I push the rotating blade down?
Right, the Gemara talks about that. Yeah. You have a river and you have a wheel. And the river causes the river is flowing and the wheel keeps on going like this. and you have a conveyor belt with chickens there, and then you have each part of the wheel has a knife on it, and it's arranged in such a way that it does a shechita.
But it doesn't lose by itself, right?
Right. So he has to unlock something in order that the river should do the shechita. So the Gemara said that's called Kohen Gavra. Yeah, that's a good question. Okay. Okay, that's Kohen Gavra. Yeah. So the Gemara talks about Kohen Gavra in three different areas. By Shechita you need Kohen Gavra, and by Netilas Yadayim. And the third place is by Ratzeach, in Masechta Sanhedrin. Ratzeach, Shoharges, Chaver, Chayv Misa. The Gemara says you have to have Kohen Gavra. So there are certain cases where there's a lack of Kohen Gavra, so you're not Chayv. So that's a big question. Halacha LaMaisa, is Kohen Gavra the same thing as Maisa HaAdam? Maisa HaAdam is in Hebrew and Kohen Gavra is in Aramaic, but it's basically the same thing. Or should I say no? Kohen Gavra is something over and above Maisa HaAdam. It could be that it is Maisa HaAdam and it's still lacking in Kohen Gavra. Like take for example that Rashba. The Rashba had this suffix in the Tshuvas of Rashba. He gets up and he forgot all about he was sleeping in his chair. And then he gets up, he forgot all about it that he has a knife. And he gets up, he causes the knife to fall down, and then it causes a shechita. But he didn't have kavanah sasi at all. But it is Maisa HaAdam. He got up and he triggered this whole action that happened. He didn't have kavanah sasi at all. So that's a big machlokes. So there's a Tosfos in Bava Kamma, in the beginning of Bava Kamma, on Daf Hei Amud Beis, where Tosfos assumes that Kohen Gavra and Maisa HaAdam are exactly the same thing. And Adam HaMazik is only chayv if he does a Maisa Hezik, if it's Groma ben Ezekin is Potter. He's not allowed, Groma ben Ezekin is Aser. The Gemara says in Bava Basra, Zos HaMeres, Groma ben Ezekin is Aser, even though you're Potter, but you don't have to pay if you're Mazik Adei Groma. So Adam HaMazik is only chayv if he does a Maisa HaAdam, a Maisa Hezik. So Tosfos has a Chiddush, whatever is a lack of Kohen Gavra, then until it's a daim, for Shechita, for Etzicha, Adam HaMazik will not be chayv to pay. It'll be considered Groma ben Ezekin in his pot. So the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer on Bava Kamma, has a comment on that Tosfos. He thinks that we don't accept that opinion. That Tosfos is equating Maisa HaAdam, the Kohen Gavra, and he thinks we don't accept that. We hold like the other opinion. There's another Tosfos towards the end of Sanhedrin, Ayin Zayin, Ayin Ches, in the Sugya of Ratzeach, that you need Kohen Gavra. So there Tosfos explains that Kohen Gavra and Maisa HaAdam are two different things. So Chaim Soloveitchik also writes the same thing in his Sefer on the Rambam. Kohen Gavra means something over and above Maisa HaAdam. It's not the same. It's negeyed to baking matzahs. Get to baking matzahs when they, let's say they bake shmura matzah, machine shmura. So they push a button and it goes on. It goes for a long time. So the Dvar Avram, the Kovner Rav, has in his Truvis, he thinks he interprets in the Gemara. He says if you push a button and you let the machinery go for 5 seconds and then you push it and you stop it. So whatever would have been accomplished by the initial pushing of the button, the first 5 seconds, that's called Kohen Gavra and that's Maisa HaAdam. Whatever would have been accomplished, because I just left it like that, I didn't stop the machine, so that's called Koach Sheni. He claims that's called Koach Sheni, that's a lack of Koach Gavra. So he assumes, let's say, if you bake Shmura Matzah, so whatever would have been accomplished in the first 5 seconds, zero. Nothing would have been accomplished in the first 5 seconds. The water would fall into the with the flour, and it would begin to get mixed. Then you stop the button, everything stops. So nothing is going to... It takes a couple of minutes. So according to the Dvar Avram's definition, when you push a button, whatever will be accomplished in the first 5 seconds, so that's Kohen Gavra. Whatever happens after that is not Kohen Gavra. So and he equates Kohen Gavra with Maisa HaAdam, like the Tosfos and Bava Kamma. So he said, then it can't be considered Asiya L'Shma. Shmura Matzah means I made the Matzah L'Shem Mitzvah's Matzah. If it's not called Maisa HaAdam, so you can't say it was done L'Shma. The whole discussion of the Shmura Matzah, machine Shmura, is on the assumption, not like the Dvar Avram. We're assuming like the Chazon Ish. We're assuming like Rab Chaim. So the Chazon Ish quotes, Rab Chaim doesn't quote Chazon Ish. And the Kozhik Lover Goyim. Kozhik Lover was killed by the Nazis. So he also has a tshuva about this machine made tzitzis, that you have to make the strings, you have to twine the strings L'Shma. So what if you throw all the raw wool into a machine and you push a button? And the machine makes it into strings. So is that called Asiya L'Shma? So he holds not like Tosfos. If you hold like the Dvar Avram, you hold like that Tosfos, only what was accomplished in the first 5 seconds is called Maisa Hodem Kerkava. Whatever happens after that doesn't count. So nothing is accomplished in the first 5 seconds. Nothing is completed. So it wouldn't be good. So the Kosher Glove and the Chazon Ish both quote the same Magen Avraham. And they listen until it's your dime. That if you set up the whole system, then it's even called Kerkava. They give a lot of details. Okay, maybe we'll come to the Gemara.
If you list your diet by opening up the faucet, why do you need it up? You can just put your hands underneath it constantly.
One of the Gedolim says like that. If you keep on opening the water, closing, opening the water, closing.
Just open it once. We're not worried about the first 5 seconds anymore. As long as you did the original pushing the button, whatever comes after, we should be okay.
No, but until this time, you need Kerach Gavra. So the Chazon Ish, with the Kosher Glove, the Kodem Magen Avraham says like this. If you have water pressure that's pushing down, and you pick up a dam, and then the Mela, the water pressure goes, the water was pressing down anyway. There's every body of water, there's pressure going down. When you pick up the dam, so you did Hasoras Hamoneah, as they call it, you remove the dam that's blocking the way, and then the water pressure has a place to go, so then it's only what's accomplished in the first 5 seconds. If you close the dam after 5 seconds of what would have been accomplished by that, that's Kerach Gavra, whatever happens later not. But if I set up a whole system and there wasn't any pressure from before, there was no water pressure. So by the water coming out of the faucet, I think that does work with water pressure. It's just that there's a block, something blocking in the way. If you have pumps, and when you turn on the water, a whole electrical system starts to go to pump the water, then the Chazon Ish and the Kosher Glove would say, that is called Kerach Gavra. That is because I set up the whole system. But if he didn't set it up, he just removed. So one of the Tzitz Eliezer has a tshuva like that. He thinks that if you turn on the water, turn it off, turn on the water, turn it off, that's called Kerach Gavra. Every time you turn it off, the 2-3 seconds, you turn it on. And he thinks that the faucet, the water comes out of the faucet, that's called the Kli. You have to do Netilas Yadayim, the water has to come from a Kli. That's why we call it Netilas. Because in Aramaic, Natla is a container. Natla is a cup. So you have to do Netilas Yadayim from a Kli. With Kerach Gavra. So fine, you open the faucet, you close it, open the faucet, that's Kerach Gavra. Where's the Kli? So the Tzitz Eliezer thinks that the faucet itself is the Kli. That's questionable. You see, if you have a Kli like this, it's the Kli is sitting, here the Kli is sitting, the cup is sitting, and it's containing the water. Here, it's containing the water because of pressure. The faucet is like this. It says in Shulchan Aruch, like this. A lot of times you have a pitcher with, what is this called, the lip?
The spout.
Where the spout is higher up than the water level. If you fill it up with water and you wouldn't have the lid on, the water would overflow and the spout wouldn't get full if the spout is higher up. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if you have such a pitcher, you shouldn't, and you want to do it until it's a dime, you shouldn't pour the water from the spout. Because the spout is not called a kli. A kli is only if it can contain. You see, this can contain water up until the top, because this is level. This can contain water up until the height of the sides over here. But if the spout is higher, then it's only a kli up until that point where it can contain. The higher part cannot contain water when it's sitting. If you hold it sideways, it'll hold water. But if it sits normally, the way it's only normally sits on the base, that part is not called a kli. Same thing for Netilas Adayim when the Kohanim want a Duchen, that the Levim have to pour the water from a cup. So some shuls, they have a pitcher with a spout that's higher than the level of the water. So the Levim who pour the water have to pour sideways. They have to pour from here because the spout doesn't have a Shulchan Aruch like that. The spout doesn't have a Din of a Kli. So the Pashtus is that here the water comes out from the faucet. The faucet doesn't hold water when it's sitting normally. The faucet is upside down over here. The faucet doesn't hold water. The water is in a different location over there. So the faucet should be loy gora from the spout that doesn't hold any water. It shouldn't be considered netilas yadayim from the kli. The faucet that's hanging down shouldn't be considered a kli. It doesn't hold any water.
But the pipe holds the water until it curves.
Till it bends over. Okay.
Right.
So the pipe probably would be a kli.
The key off of the Kohanim had a different halacha completely?
The kiyor probably also had kalim. They had kalim to take the water from the kiyor and to wash their hands, yeah.
I thought they usually took a spout and put the feet underneath it right away.
It could be. I don't know. Could be. Anyway, that's the din here, that you need Koach Gavra. In Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham has a stira. There's a machlekes hatanoim in the Mishnayis in Yodayim, when it talks about Natilis Yodayim. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. What's a din if a monkey pours water on my hands? I don't have to pour the water on my own hands. A goy can pour the water, is also good. Another person can pour, is also good. So what if a monkey pours the water? So it's a machlekes hatanoim. So in Hilchas Natilis Yodayim in the Shulchan Aruch, they quote two opinions. Hilchas Shechita, they don't quote two opinions, they quote the Tosefta in Chulin, that it's no good. So the Magen Avraham asks, isn't there a contradiction? How come in by Natilas Yadayim it's two opinions? By Shechita just says that it's no good. So Rabbi Kiveger comes to answer the Magen Avraham's kasha. So he says, no, because by Shechita the din is that if a goy shechts, it's no good. Why? So Tosis said before that you have to have a bar zvicha. He had the Mishnah here. It was the Mishnah. Shechita sakam nevela, matambe b'masa. I forgot where it is already. If a goy shechts, it's no good. Here it's Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Shechita savakacham nevela or metamba b'masa. If a goy shechts, it's no good. So it says on the margin in the Gemara, that's a Mishnah, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. One line Mishnah. So it says on the margin, hatam avur b'taisus li'al gimel amud beis b'maschal kasavar. So Tosis and the Rosh write like that. The Rambam has a totally different shita. Tosis and the Rosh write on gimel amud beis kasavar, a new Rosh, that in order to shecht, it's not sufficient that you have Koach Gavra. You have to have a bar zvicha. Mizavachta vechalta. Whoever is muzer, a non-Jew can eat nevelas. So he's not a bar zvicha. So he's posel for shechita. A Jew is not allowed to eat nevelas. So he's a bar zvicha. So the shechita has to be done by bar zvicha. So Rabbi Kivega says, that's the teretz. By shechita, the Mechaber quotes that if a monkey does the shechita, it's no good l'chal ha'deis. Because he's not a bar zvicha. And Achenami, according to one opinion, it will be koach gavra. When a monkey does it, it's called koach gavra. But by shechita, you need another thing. If a goy shechts is no good, a goy is certainly a koach gavra. But that's not enough koach gavra. You have to have a bar zvicha. So a monkey is not a bar zvicha. But by netilus yadayim, all you need is koach gavra. So that's two opinions. So there used to be a professor in Yeshiva University. So he said, you see from this Magen Avraham, from this din of Shulchan Aruch, that they believed a little bit in Darwin's theory and evolution, that the monkey is somehow the same family as the human beings. Otherwise, why would one Tana say that it's Koach Gavra? So someone told it over to Rabbi Soloveitchik when he was learning every day. They told him over the whole. So he got so angry. He said, utterly ridiculous. He said, Koach Gavra is a, it doesn't mean Gavra. It doesn't mean a person. The Tana didn't mean to say that the monkey is related to the person. Koach Noitel means that some person, somebody poured the water with kavanah. So if any other animal pours the water other than a monkey, so Tanoim assume there's nothing to discuss. The animals don't have enough seichel to understand what they're doing. But a monkey has more seichel than the others. So if the monkey pours the water, so one Tana thinks that that's called koyach gavra, means koyach noitel, that the one is pouring the water understands that he's doing something over here. He understands that the water is reaching my hands. The other Tana says it's not, but no one holds that you need Gavra, a human being, a person. No one meant to say that a monkey is close to a human being. It's in the same family, and therefore it's called a Gavra. The arguing is it's called Koach Neitel. The monkey have enough seichel to say that it's pouring the water, intending that the water should land on my hands. So that's the din. You need Koach Gavra for the shechit. And if not for a second, I left a knife on the table, and the wind blew and it fell and shechts a chicken, that's no good. So the Gemara comments on the Mishnah. The only reason why it's no good, time of the nafla, because the knife fell by itself. But Yipilahu, what if he's holding onto the knife and he throws the knife on the floor? He didn't realize that there's an animal there. Didn't realize that this, the way he's throwing the knife, it's going to accomplish shechita. Yipilahu k'sheira. Afagav d'loy mechaven, even though he didn't have intention that it should shecht the simonim. So the Gemara says, Man tanad lo bina kavana l'shechita. Whose opinion is this? That the Mishnah implies it's only no good nafla because of a lack of koach gavra. If it would have been koach gavra without kavana shechita at all, it would have been good. Whose opinion is it? Amar Rav Rab Nosson he. The Mishnah goes like the minority opinion of Rab Nosson. We pass like Rab Nosson against the majority. Why? The Tani Yoshi Azir, the Min Chavraya, somebody presented the following brisa. Rashi has two ways how to read this. Oshia was the person's name who presented the brisa. And he was the youngest from the whole group of Talmidim in the Yeshiva. Zira de Min Chavraya. He was the youngest of the Chabura of Talmidei Chachamim. Or maybe, no, there were two people with the same name, Oishia, like Quetzalah. I saw him in town last week. So his older brother was known as Katz. When the older brother came to America's Rav, they called him Katz. And when he came, said, so what are they going to call him? Also Katz. So they called him Quetzalah, because he was the younger Katz. So there were two Oishias. So one was the older Oishia, and one was Oishia Zira, the young Oishia. And he was the Min Chavraya, not Zira, the Min Chavraya, the youngest of the Chabura and the Yeshiva. He was Oishia Zira, the young Oishia, as opposed to the older Oishia, and from the Chabura of Lomdim and Yeshiva, whatever, that's a Shaila. The name appears in many places in the Gemara, Oishia Zira, the Min Chavraya. So Rashi here has the two ways to read it. Where do you pause? Oishia Zira is his name, and the Min Chavraya, or Oishia Kama, who was the Zira, the Min Chavraya, the youngest of all of them. So he presented a brisa. He was not a Tana, he was an Amora, but he presented a brisa that said as follows: Zorek Sakan Anatza Bekaisa. He throws a knife in order to hit a target on the wall. And he didn't realize at all. He didn't realize that there was an animal there, and by his throwing, it accomplished the shechita. He had no intention at all. So that's a machlokes hatana. I'm sure I'm nasan machshir. He didn't have kavana shechita at all. Didn't have kavana shchaticha simanim at all. So the Rav Nosson says that it's good, and that's what the Gemara pointed out. The Mishnah seems to imply that it's good. Only Nafla is not acceptable. But if he pilahu, if he threw the knife, even though he wasn't intending that it should hit the animal at all, that's a good shechita, that's called Torah Gara. The Chachamim Paislam, the Chachamim say, no, you have to have kavana for the shechita. So the Gemara comments, whose comment was this? Omar Rava. Rava said that the Mishnah goes like Rav Nosson. Hutani Lava Hu Amala, Rava is the one who presented the brisa. Oishia Zir the Min Chavraya presented the brisa, and he said, I think we should paskin like that. Allah Kirab Nasan, we should paskin like that. And that's what it says in the Mishnah. Mishnah quotes, the Mishnah is according to Rab Nasan. So you see, usually Yachavi Rab Malachi Kirabim. And here the Chachamim Aimrim, the Chachamim are the majority. But the Rabbi Yudal Nasi wrote it in the Stam Mishnah. Apparently the consensus changed over the years. And during the lifetime of Rav Nosson, he was the minority opinion. The consensus was against him. And when Rabbi Yudal Nasi wrote the Mishnah, the consensus had changed. You have a lot of times like that. You have Mishnayis, Mishnah says it didn't, and then it says, Bezn Shalach Re'em Amru. They called, the Gemara was called, the original Psak was called Mishnah Rishayna, and the later Psak from a later generation is called Mishnah Reina. You have a lot of times like that. The consensus shifts. So the Gemara says we paskin like that. Fine. So Rava said we paskin like the Mishnah, Aboshia, Zira de Min Chavraya. Fine. Feg the Gemara. Why did Rava have to say twice? He already made the comment in the first perk. V'amar Rava Chadazimna. Rava already made that comment on an earlier Mishnah. The very first Mishnah in the Mesichta talks about a Cherushot Vikot. Cherushot Vikot Na'alab B'nei Das. Even if they're geniuses, even the Vilna Goyen, a day before his bar mitzvah, Zikot Nasal Pidin is Alab Bar Das. If you say that Shechita needs Kavana, so the cotton can't shecht. So what's the din in the first Mishnah? So the first Mishnah says, Cherushot to the cotton, if no one is watching, and they tell us that they shechted properly, and they tell us all the hilcha shechita, so that's halacha, cotton doesn't have namonis. You can't trust the cotton. Alpidin is a la bardas, has no namonis. But if a godel is watching when the Cherushot to the cotton do the shechita, then it's perfect. It's called keragaben, it's called a bar zvicha. That's a kasha the shach talks about. Why is it? Right tefillin, the pasuk says in Kriyashma, you have two psukim next to each other. It says, "Ukshartem laos al yadecha v'hayra tatoz beinenecha, chsavtem al mezuzah beisecha v'sharecha." So the Gemara says in the beginning of Yevamos, is that a drasha? If you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, that's called a hekesh. We assume that there's some connection between the two. You have two psukim written and two psukim that are adjacent to each other. That's called smuchim. So that's a machlekes hatanoim where they dashim smuchim or not. So the Gemara says in the beginning of Amis, Bamer Dvar Mamurim, when is there a machlokes? That's Bereshis through Bamidbar. But in Chumish Dvarim, all the Tanaim agree that Yidash and Smuchim. The Gemara gives two reasons why. And there are many, many, many famous drushes that are based on Smuchim and Chumish Dvarim. So this is one of the famous ones. It says, Akshat Malos al Yadecha Bahayra Tatavis Bein Enecha, then Akshat Mal Mezuzas, whoever is a Bakshira, where's Bechuyiv to wear Tfilin? And where's the Tfilin? He's able to write Mezuzas. Save the Torah and film. But let's say, Cherushot v'kotna are not mechuyev, Anisha is not mechuyev, and a goy is not mechuyev. So since they're not mechuyev in tefillin, and Apikurus is mechuyev, but he doesn't do it. He doesn't like tefillin. So whoever is not a bakshir, either you're not mechuyev to do the hanochas at tefillin, or you just don't do it. He's not religious, not observant. He doesn't want to like tefillin. So they're not allowed to write mezuzahs. Even though a woman is mechuyev and mezuzah, but since she's not mechuyev and tefillin, and the psukim are one next to the other, k'shatim lo'asal yadecha, k'shatim al mezuzahs beisecha, uvisharech. So there we say that a cherishah to the katan is not a bar kshira. And over here, all of a sudden, the Tesis says over here, if a goy shechts is no good, Mishnah said you'd gim lam if a goy shechts is no good. And they said the reason why, because he need a bar zvicha. So a goy is not a bar zvicha. So a cherishah to the katan should not be a bar zvicha either. He's not mitzuvah that he has to eat dafka kosher flesh. Just like a goy is not mitzuvah, a katan mid the rabbanon, there's a din of chinuch. But when a Torah, the katan is not mechuyev in anything. When a Torah, the katan is not mechuyev in anything. So how come the katan, if the katan shechts in the presence of someone else is watching, why is it good? The katan, the cherishah to the katan, don't have the manas to say they did a good job on the shechita, but if they do the shechita properly, it is a kosher shechita. It is a proper shechita if someone else is watching. Why? If a goy does and someone else is watching, it's no good, because a goy is not a bar zvicha. So why is a cherish out of a katan bar zvicha? That's a kasha that the shach asks. Why do you distinguish between who's called a bakshira for writing mezuzah and who's called a bar zvicha for shechita? So some say a bar zvicha doesn't only mean that you're not allowed to eat nevelas. Bar zvicha means if you'll touch a nevela, you'll be mekabel tuma. So the cherusha to the cotton are not b'nei chiyuve, but they're Jewish. So if they'll touch a nevela, they'll be mekabel tuma. So he's also a bar zvicha. There by kshira, by tefillin, the only thing that the only way to call a person as a bar kshira is if he's mechuyev to wear tefillin. So the cherusha to the cotton are not mechuyev in the mitzvah. Cotton is only mechuyev in tam chinuch mederabbanan, and atari is not a bar kshira. But bar zvicha, that's Rabbi Chana likes that teres. But bar zvicha doesn't necessarily mean he's muzer not to eat nevela. No. There's a din. If he touches a nevela, he'll become tummy. So that applies to any Jewish person, even a cherusha to be cotton.
Well, why can a person give a cotton something not kosher to eat? Isn't it that he shouldn't be eating something not kosher, even if it's not part of
chinuch? Right. Even the cotton shalom he gives a chinuch. Even a cotton shalom he gives a chinuch. There's an issa deraisa, also this post will be adayim. So that's what the Shach answers. Shach says, why is the cotton called a bar zvicha over here? He says, even though the cotton on his own is allowed to eat all the chaza that he wants, min ha-Torah, the whole chinuch is only mid rabbanon, but the gdolim are not allowed to feed him chaza. Also, lachila bi adayim, that's why the cotton is called a bar zvicha. That's the Shach's answer. Rabbi Chana Wasserman thinks, easier. You don't even have to command to also this post be adayim. He says, the cotton is makabal tumen, so the shechita is relevant to him. So the Gemara is Akash. And the opening Mishnah talks about a cherusha to the cotton. So the cotton could be the kid is 12 and a half years old and he's the Vilna Gaon, so he knows what he's doing. The shaita means he's deranged. It could be he doesn't even know what he's doing at all. But it doesn't matter, even though he does know what he's doing. You have to have a God loymer al gabav, you have to have a Jewish adult watching who will tell us that he did a proper shechita. And the cherusha to the cotton is called a bar zvicha, and it's called a koyach gavra. Even though there's no kavana, even though the cherusha to the cut maybe don't know what they're doing, they don't understand what they're doing. So Rava made that comment on the opening Mishnah. Freg di gemar v'hamor Rava charezimna. Why did Rava have to repeat it on this Mishnah? Mantana de labina kavana goes like Rav Nosson, and we pass like Rav Nosson. He already made the comment on the opening Mishnah. Tanina charezimna. It already says in the first Mishnah. It's not kulam sheshocht a cherusha to the cut and shecht. So they don't have them honest to say that the shecht did properly. Before Pesach, a lot of times the women buy new knives, they buy new pots, and they send the children to the kelim mikveh, they should be toivel the kelim. So if you send a katan, he doesn't have them on us. You can't send a katan a child before bar mitzvah. You have to send someone after bar, a girl, a boy, after bar mitzvah, or after bas mitzvah. Katan only has them on us if it's an issue. The rabbanon, let's say, tefilas kelim on glass kelim. We assume tefilas kelim on glass is only the rabbanon. So if the cotton is going to tell me after his bar mitzvah, let's say the kid is having a bar mitzvah and having a party after the bar mitzvah, so the kid is going to bring the week before his bar mitzvah is going to be toivel kelim, is going to bring it home, then he's going to use it for the party after the bar mitzvah. So then he's nemud lohayd begodla mashero bekotno, and a din the rabbanon. That's a mishnah in the end of the second parak in Ksubas. A cotton doesn't have namanis when he's a cotton, he has namanis when he becomes a bar mitzvah. If it's an issue, the rabbanon, he's neman begodla lahayd masherah bekotno. That he'll be neman. But bekotno, he doesn't have namanis. So that's the first mishnah in Chulin. There's a machlekes hatanoim there, right? And a din de rabbanon, he is neman. And a din de raisa, he's not neman. So one of the gedolim said that's exactly the machlekes, but the mikra megillah is midi rabbanon or it's midi kabbalah. If it's midi kabbalah, so then we say midi kabbalah kedibre torah damya. That's a machlekes in achrayim whether chi of mikra megillah. See, divrei kabbalah means a chi of midi rabbanon that's recorded in kisvi hakodesh. It's called divrei kabbalah. So Mashlach Manas Matanas Lavyanim and Sudas Purim, that says Beferish. Mikra Megillah never says Beferish in the Megillah. Never says that's more popular. Mikra Megillah is more famous than Mashlach Manas Matanas Lavyanim. But Matanas Lavyanim says he got to give Matanas Lavyanim. Mashlach Manas Ishrei Matanas Lavyanim. Vaso Osa Yimei Mishta V'Simcha. How do you know you have to read the Megillah? Because it says Hayam Ha'ele Nizkarim V'Na'asim. The Gemara says Nizkarim means it is spoken of. The days of Purim are spoken of. When are they spoken of? The Mikra Megillah. So that's an allusion to the Mikra Megillah, but it doesn't say Beloshen Tzivui. Vasa Vasa Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Mishlach. That's Vasa Vasa is Loshen Tzivui. You should do this. You should do that. So that's for sure. Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah when Machmik Divrei Torah Damya. And if it says something in Kisvi HaKodesh, but it doesn't say Beloshen Tzivui. It says, Hayam Ha'elin is Korim and Asim, Purim is spoken of. Spoken of is an allusion to the fact that we read the Megillah, but it doesn't say you have to read the Megillah. It's self-understood, you have to read it. But since it's not written explicitly, Beloshen Tzivui, so there's a Rashi and Masechus Tainus. Say Rashi and Tainus is not by Rashi, so whoever, pseudo-Rashi, so whoever wrote it. So the Pirish, the Mefarish on Tainus writes that when something appears in Kisvi HaKodesh, not Beloshen Tzivui, so the Gemara seems to assume that that's not called the Divrei Kabbalah. So that's a big machlekes. Rabbi Kiveger on Orech Chaim Hilchos Purim quotes the Turi Evin. Shagazari has a sefer on Megillah Turi Evin. So he assumes that Mikra Megillah is the Divrei Kabbalah. And others disagree. The Minkacher, Minchas Aluza, disagrees and he quotes that Rashi and Tainus. That since it's not written Melosh and Tzibui, so shouldn't be called Divrei Kabbalah. So that's what some Gedolim say. That's exactly the machlekes. There's a machlekes hatanoim. A Buddhist says, I remember as a child, I read the Megillah in front of Rav Tarfon, and everybody was yotzei my mikra Megillah, even though I was before Bar Mitzvah. The Chachamim say, Eim Avim Raim Min HaKotn. You're a Kotn Shehigdal, we don't believe you. So Rav Yehuda didn't know that then, and Kotn Shehigdal is Eina Nemon. The Mishnah says in the end of the second parak in Ksubas, Kotn Shehigdal is Eina Nemon. So the answer is, Rav Yehuda held that mikra Megillah is the Rabbana. So by din of the Rabbana, Kotn Shehigdal is Nemon. And the Chachamim held that Mikra Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah, Divrei Kabbalah, they treat like Divrei Torah, and on Dinam the Raisa, the Kotn Shehigdal is Ein on that one. So that's what some Gedolim say, that was exactly the Machlekes of Yudan the Rabbanon. The Kotn Shehigdal is Bagloit Tanad, that was Machlekes, and Mikra Megillah is called Divrei Kabbalah, so the Gemara has a Losh, and Natana, Divrei Kabbalah, I treat it like Divrei Torah Damyan. So Kotn Shehigdal should not be believed. Rabbi Yudan held no, that Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanon, so by the Rabbanon, so Kotn Shehigdal is Bagloit. Yeah. Abudin in Sukkah also quotes things he remembers as a child. In Sanhedrin also, Rav Lezer ben Tzurka says, I remember as a child. So they told him, Eimavim Raim in Akotin. Akotin Shehigdal is not Bagloit. I told you the story. We were visiting by, they took me to visit Rabbi Machpud. He's a prominent figure. He lives in Bnei Brak. He gives a Hashgocha and Shechita. He's an expert. He's a moel. He does brisen all day long. And he has Hashgocha Zanfle. He's a very good Hashgocha. So he was showing us which grasshoppers are kosher, which are treif. So he says, I remember when he came from, he says, I remember when he lived in Teiman. We used to eat these grasshoppers. This we didn't eat and these we did eat. So I asked him, when you left Teiman, how old were you? So he says, before his bar mitzvah. So I said, cotton shehigdal is not neman. So he says, I'll ask my wife. She left Teiman after her bas mitzvah. His wife wasn't home. So I'll ask the next door neighbor. He just moved in from Teiman last month. He asks the next door neighbor. He shows him the grasshoppers. The next door neighbor says, No, I never ate that. He said, what do you mean you never ate that? We always ate. He said, yeah, everybody ate. I didn't like it though. I enjoy it. He said, yeah, remember, everybody ate. He didn't know what he wanted. I said, yeah, everybody did eat it. He said there used to be like epidemics. There would come millions of these grasshoppers. He said the Jews always felt that it's a punishment for the Arabs because they didn't allow the Jews to own any fields. So when the grasshoppers came, they ate everything up. it was a punishment for the Arabs. He said, as a child, they used to have these gigantic plastic bags. They would catch 5 million grasshoppers in one shot, and they would eat them. So he took the grasshopper, he ripped off the wings, and he fried it, and he was eating. Such a hakal on the end. He said, but if you fry it without ripping off the wings, are they going to fly away? You have to first rip off the wings, then you throw it into the fire. Okay, he said it was good. I didn't want it. It didn't look so tasty to me. I didn't want it either. Then he has them on us. Where he comes from, they have a tradition that this is kosher. And strictly speaking, I'm allowed to eat it also. But his next door neighbor lived in Tehran and he didn't eat it, so I wasn't interested either. Yeah. So the Gemara says, what did Rava have to make a comment on the Mishnah in the second parak? He already made the same comment on the opening Mishnah in the first parak. There's someone who is an adult, a bar mitzvah, is watching, and he knows that he did a good shchita, shchitos and kshera, that it's a kerech gavra, and it's good, and we made a comment, mantana lo bai kavana, whose opinion is, mantana lo bai kavana le shchita, whose opinion is it that you don't need kavana, because the cherushot of a kotna have no kavana, labani does. Omer rabbi rab nasenhi. So rabbi already said it on the first Mishnah. The opening Mishnah and Masechtos. Why does he find it important to repeat the comment over here on this Mishnah? Everything more tzvicha. I need both. I need both. Why? Because there's room to distinguish in either direction. If he would only have the first Mishnah and the Masechtos, okay. Al pidin the cherushet v'katan is a lab bar das. But sof kasof, he knows what he's doing. He knows he's shechting the animal. So over here, there's mamish nothing. He says nafla the sakin is no good. But he pila, it is good. So here he didn't have kavana for anything. There the kid did have kavana. Al pidina doesn't count. So the Gemara says there would have been room to distinguish. The Ashmin and Hasim, that it's good, that it's acceptable. The Cherushot Chavad. Rishum dekom mechavan, rishum chaticha ba'olam. The kid knows that he's shechting. He may not know all the details, but he knows that he's doing something. Avalachad lo kam mechavan. Here he's not mechavan at all. Mishnah says nafla is not acceptable because of a lack of karagavra. He pila is good even though he had no intentions of anything. I would have said it's no good. And if you would have only had this Mishnah, you wouldn't have had the first Mishnah, you wouldn't have had the comment on the first Mishnah. I could have said here it's better because the fellow who threw it is a Gavra Bar Das. So Mishum de Kosim Mikarach Ben Das. Aval Hosim, that a Cherushar to be cotton did the Shchita, there would be room to say he's a Gavra La Bar Das, the Lord Kosim Mikarach Ben Das. I would have said maybe it's not called Kerach Gavra. Maybe he's only called Karkava if a person is a Bardas. So I need the both Mishnayos to say that we pass like Rav Nosson in all the cases. We always accept the din like Rav Nosson. So what's this issue? The Machlokes, Rav Nosson and the Chachamim. So the Ramban is quoted, the Ramban over here, and the Ran quotes it, the Rashbo quotes it, they all say the Ramban here. It's unrelated, totally unrelated to the topic in Brachas and in Megillah and other Mesichtas, whether Mitzvah Sichas Kavan or Mitzvah and Sichas Kavan. It's not an issue. We discussed already whether Shechita is a mitzvah or not. Seems perhaps to be a machlekes, the Rambam and the Raibin and the Sefer HaMitzvahs. That's not the issue here. The issue is Shechita is a matir. Is the matir only chal if you had kavana, or even if you didn't have kavana? So that's why the Marsh tells Tzu, another case, a person goes to the mikveh. So in Masechah Shabbos and in Masechah Snida, there's a big machlekes where the tefillah bizman a mitzvah, a tefillah bizman a lav mitzvah. And the Psak also changed. In the days of the Gaonim, the majority opinion was that Tefillah Bizmana is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to go to mikvah the earliest available opportunity. And in the days of the Rishonim, the consensus changed, and the Rav of the Rishonim held the Rabbeinu Tam, and most of the Rishonim held Tefillah Bizmana, love mitzvah. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, Vaharaya, that the single girls don't go to mikvah. Why not? Because Tefillah Bizmana, love mitzvah. The din would have been Tefillah Bizmana mitzvah. Everyone who's tummy would have to go to mikveh. Every time a man has tashmish with his wife, it becomes a balkari. He would have to go to mikveh the same day. We don't do that. Chassidim do because they want to daven, but not because tefillah bizmana mitzvah. So we basically hold we paskan tefillah bizmana lav mitzvah. And still as a shaila, when a person is tovel in a mikveh, does he have to have kavana that he wants the mikveh to be mitayr him? Or not necessarily so. So the Gemara tells the two. Shchita is a matir and tefillah is a mitahir. It's a matir. So do you need kavana for the matir? You don't need. Unrelated, whether you hold mitzvah sichas kavana and sichas kavana, that's the question. Are you yotze the mitzvah b'li kavana? He was talking is the matir chav, the matir of shchita, or the matir of the tefillah in the mikveh. So that'll be a machleika satana. So that's what the Gemara quotes itmar. We have the following Machlekes Amarayim. Neither shenensa v'tovla. A woman somehow fell into the mikveh. She didn't intend to. The Gemara is going to say she was walking on a bridge and she fell into the river and she knows that she's wet, but she's trying to save her life. She's not interested in being tovla in the river. So that's the case. She had no kavana at all for tefillah. Neither shenensa v'tovla. The woman was tovla in the mikveh, but the kavana. So it's a machlekes Amarayim. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel, so he says over a lot of things from Rav. So he says, Torah lebeisa, she's muteris lebailo, she's Torah. However, vasur lechol b'tshuma. That's a chumra midirabbanan, that in order to eat truma, even if you were toivel in a mikveh, l'shem tahara, but you didn't have a mind to eat truma, you have to be toivel again. And let's say you're a kohen, and you went to mikveh intending to have tahara, to be allowed to eat truma, and then you want to eat karbanis. You got to be toivel again. You have to have kavana l'shem karbanis. You have to. That's midirabbanan. That's milus. That's in Maseches Chagiga. You have all the milus means chumris midirabbanan. So these are chumris midirabbanan. So mikra then he holds Amar Rav Yehuda Marav. Tefila doesn't need kavana, but for truma there's a chumr midirabbanan. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan Amar af lebeisa l'tar. Even she's not even materis lebailo. Not even because tefila needs kavana. So what was the first mandama was Rav Yehuda Marav. So Amale Rav Ele Rav Nachman. Rav asked the Kasha Rav Nachman. I don't understand Rav's pshara. If the woman didn't go to mikveh and she's with her husband, that's an isa koris. Neidah lebaidah is an isa koris. If a kohen is tamei and he eats truma, there's misa b'day shamayim. But there isn't going to be koris, and koris is much worse. The Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Bavli holds like that. The first page in the Avodah Miluyim quotes on Yerushalmi that Misa B'dei Shemayim is worse than Koris. It's unclear. But the Bavli always consistently says that Koris is considered a bigger Einish than Misa B'dei Shemayim. So he says, Rav says, I don't understand what Rav said. In fact, Rav the Omer to her lebeisa. She fell into the mikveh without kavanah, so she's allowed to be with her husband. Asur lechol b'truma. In fact, akasha oven kareis hutra the nida lebailas and he said kareis that's mochomer. So that doesn't bother him. For that he say tefila does need kavana. And he said misa meboya. So what are you worried about? Koyin tamer she'ochal truma toira. The worst it could be is going to be misa b'dei shamayim loyam musa bo kiyicha umesa bo kiyicha lu. Says if you eat the truma b'tuma, it's an isa. If the koyin is tamer. If the truma is tamei and the koyin is tohor, there's no misa b'dei shamayim. But if the koyin is tamei and he eats truma tohor, then there's going to be misa b'dei shamayim. So he says, Rav's compromise is lopsided. He's machmer on the lighter din and he's mekel on the more serious din. What's the logic? Amalei. So Rav Nachman answers back. Senishkan kasha. Baila chulin hu. The baila is not kachim. V'chulin lo boi kavona. Rav's opinion is that tefila Lechulin does need kavanah, but tefillah for truma and tefillah for kachim needs kavanah. That's a chumra midirabbanan. That's from the milas. The milas midirabbanan that the Mishnah is list off in the second parak in Chagiga. Uminot temra. And how do you know? How can I prove that Rav is right? I'm going to prove that Rav is right. That a woman who fell into the mikveh without kavanah at all is tohira, that meikar adin tefillah doesn't need kavanah, just the chumra for truma and kachim, but otherwise meikar adin you don't need. So the Gemara says, minot temra, Rav Nachman is saying, how can I prove from a Mishnah that Rav is right that tefillah does need kavanah? This not, we have a Mishnah. The ocean has waves, and the waves are jumping up in the air and they're flying on the beach. Galsha nitlash, a big wave goes up way past where it normally goes. Uba aboim so, and it has 40 so. The din is that for tefilas odom, you need aboim so. For tefilas kelim in a Torah, you don't need aboim so. You just need a minimum of a revius. If you want to be toivel a needle, that's tummy. So a needle, a revius is only the volume of a beitzo machza, an egg and a half. So have a little. If it was raining, you have a little puddle, and the little puddle has the volume of water of an egg and a half. So that's min a Torah. That's a mikveh. But tefilas kelim. And mid the rabbanon, that's not acceptable. The Gemara says in Nozer, but luhu li reviyasa. The Gemara in Nozer gives a list of all of the dinim that depend on revias. Kiddush and Abdullah, a lot of dinim depend on revias. The Gemara says, why didn't you list off that the mikveh min haTorah, mikveh for tefillas can be? The Gemara says, but lulir v'yas, and the Rabbana, they were machmer, they did away with that. So you need abayim soyim for tefillas kelim. So that's what the Mishnah says. Galshen nitlash, the ocean, a whole wave of water gets detached from the ocean and is rolling on the dry land, and it goes a certain distance. Oh boy, but I'm so has a divine mafuri, so gigantic way. But enough of Adam ala kelim, and it fell on a person a kelim. Adam he need abayim so min atar kelim he need abayim so min derabana. So it says in the Mishnah Toherin. So the guy probably didn't have kavana. No. All of a sudden the wave hits him. The kelim of the my love. So the Gemara says probably the simple pshat, the simple connotation is Adam do me the kelim. The Adam wasn't expecting the wave, just like the Kelim were not expecting. The Kelim didn't have a mind, they didn't have anything in mind. Kelim are not able to think. Pasha Pshat is that the Kelim and Adam, nobody had any Kavana, and still Tvila ate a Tzich Kavana. So you see that Tvila for Chulin purposes does need Kavana. That Mishnah and Chagiga that says you need Kavana, that's Chumris Medirabana for Trumul Vakachim. Chreg Digmar Mimai, Verzokt. That's a hechacha. Who says that Adam dumi de kelim? That just like the kelim didn't have any kavana, the Adam didn't have kavana. So it's a right to Rav that tefila does need kavana. Rav Yechanan disagrees. Rav Yechanan holds that tefila for chulan also needs kavana. So what's he going to do with the Mishnah? So the Gemara says, Mimai verzok that the Mishnah is beli kavana. Dilma, perhaps it's talking be Yoshev and Mitzapa Askinon. Maybe the guy's waiting on a dry land. The guy's tamei and he has to become tor. So instead of walking into the ocean, he's sitting, he's waiting for the waves to come and hit him. Maybe it's b'yoshev v'mitzap askinon. Emasa yitol shagal. He's waiting, when is the wave going to cover me and I'll become tor? And maybe the kelim is dumya de adam. We said before, adam dumya de kelim. Just like the kelim don't have anything in mind, so the adam doesn't have anything in mind. Emasa says, maybe fakert. Maybe li'olam, the adam is yoshev v'mitzap. When will a wave cover me? And the kelim also, ma'adam debina kavan af kelim namidu kamachavan hu adam. Maybe there's somebody sitting there. He wants to. He bought pots and pans. He bought forks and knives from the store. He doesn't want to walk into the ocean to be tovela. So he puts it on the beach and he waits till the wave comes up and it hits it. So he's tovela with that boy. So you can't prove anything from that mission. Freg digmar v'chiteima v'yoshev mitzap and my lemem. So then what's the chiddush? My kamashmalon. If the guy's sitting and waiting for the waves to come, so what's the chiddush? You have a boim saw, and it's a good tefillah. And for the Gemara, no, shenem ala chiddush. The din is, ma'u detema, one might have said, ligza, we shouldn't allow tefillah in a wave that bounces out on the dry land, because there's a din of zochlim, that zochlim is no good. Zochlim is like this. What does the word mikveh mean? Mikveh means kover v'kaimu. Kover v'kaimu means stagnant water. So a mikveh is only metahir if the water is stagnant. Let's say there was snow on the mountains and it comes the summertime and the springtime and the snow is melting. So you have hafsharas hashlogim, the snow is melting, or it's raining and the water is rolling down the side of the mountain. So that's called hardalis. We call it hardalis, but the original word is hardalis, shogishamim. If the water, you have tons of water, aboim so, rolling down the side of the mountain, and you toivel kelim ha'odam, that's no good. That's you have to have eshborin. Eshborin means a shever, a crack in the ground. You have to have the water. Mikveh means cover the kaima. The water is standing still, so be stagnant. If the water is flowing, it's no good. Unless it's a mayon. The Chumash says, ach mayon abor mikveh mayim yihir tohor. If a person is tomei, or kelim ha'tomei, you want to be metayer them, so you have to either be toivolit in a mikveh or toivolit in a mayon. So a mikveh is where the water comes from the sky, when it comes from the rain or the snow. And when the water comes from underground sources, the Tanoim knew that there's a water cycle. It's all the same water. The water comes down then and it evaporates, goes back south, comes down, it's all the same water. But it depends what was the immediate source of the water. There are fountains where the water comes from the rain and the snow, but then it goes under the ground long enough till it shoots up from a mayon from under the ground. And the ocean always rains and snows in the ocean. But the Gemara says the rainwater that comes down is called notfim, and the water that comes from under the ground sources are called zochlim. So the Gemara says usually in the ocean the water is rolling all over the place, But it's rabu zochlem al anotvim. Most of the water in the ocean is from under the ground sources, and less than 50% is from the rain and the snow that fall in. So therefore the whole ocean has a din of a mayon. So a mayon, where the source of the water is from under the ground, a spring, so the spring is metara b'zochlen, when it's moving. If it stops moving and it forms a puddle, then it becomes a mikveh. Then it's no longer called a mayon. The din is that a zav. The pasuk says a person is tummy or kelim that a tummy. You have a choice. Either to be toivel in a mikveh, toivel in a mayon. Ach mayon above mikveh, mayon yator. Either tefillah in a mikveh, tefillah in a mayon. But there's one person, the zav, can only be toivel in a mayon. It can't be toivel in a mikveh. It doesn't apply to a zavah. Zava, by our wives we treat as a suffix zava, and a zava can be toivel in a mikvah or a mayon. That's a tosefta like that. But a zav needs dafke a mayon. A mikvah is no good. So we assume the Mishnah says that all the oceans have the status of mayon, even though a lot of rainwater and a lot of snow melts and falls in, because we assume that more than 50% of the volume of the water in the ocean that you're being toivel in is from the underground sources. So the Gemara says, if you have,
what's the mikveh mayim koroyamin? What's it says? Mikveh mayim koroyamin.
Yeah.
So that's a mayim.
That's a machlokes hatanoim. One Tana in the Mishnah, I don't think we possibly. One Tana says that the oceans have the din like a yam, and it's no good if it's zochlem. You can't be tovel in the ocean. And we don't pass like that. We pass and since the rive of the water in the ocean is from under the ground sources, that's rabu zochlim ala notvim, the rabu zochlim, zochlim is from under the ground, that's jumping up, and the notvim are the rain and the snow that are dripping down from the sky. So since it's the rabu is the me'amayim, so all the oceans are within a mayim. One Tana says, no, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees in the Mishnah Mikvah because of that xeris hakosel. Like v'amayim korayamim, so even though it's an ocean and it's zochlim, it doesn't count. So it's not acceptable. So again, the Gemara says, this is, the Gemara asked, if the Mishnah that says, Gal she nitla shabba, boim so is good for tefillah, is only talking about a case, Yosha v'metzapeh, so what's the Chiddush? Gemara says, no, would have thought, sometimes he can be tovel, sometimes he can't be tovel. L'chitema b'yosha metzapeh maile meimro, on the top of Lamed Aleph and Beis, on the third line. Gemara says, no, it's a sheneim ala Chiddush, ma'u detema, one might have mistakenly thought, l'igza mishum chardele shol gshamim. I would have thought, if you have zochlim, water flowing down the side of the mountain, that's zochlim, because there is no rove of maymayon. That's all water from megesham and memesh avsharos hashlogim. So that's not metar bezochlim. So one might have thought we shouldn't allow, even though from the ocean it's all a mayon. So one might have thought that even though it's zochlim, it should be good. You should make exer. You shouldn't allow that. Or to another case of zochlim, should make a gzera inami, or you can say a different chashash, ligza roshen or to kippen. Let's say the wave rolls on the ground and it rolls in an arc shape. So the two ends of the wave are touching the ground, and in the middle there's empty airspace. So the Gemara says a mikveh has to be agabi karka. If you have water flying in the air, even if you have memsor from a mayon, if it's memsor from rain or from snow, that's zechlin, so it's no good. And even if it's water from a mayon, the water from the ocean that jumps up on the dry land on the beach, so it's only good. You can only toivel where the water is touching the ground. In the middle, if it falls up like a kippah is a semicircle, an arc, so you can't be toivel. You can't hold the kli up in the air and have tefillah ba'avir. You have to have tefillah in a mikveh. Mikveh means agabi karka. So the Gemara says, inami, when you have the galsha nitlash, maybe you shouldn't allow a person to be toivel, even Yoshev and Metzap, you shouldn't allow the person to be toivel in the Russian, the two ends of the ark that are touching the ground, otu exera, ligza Russian, otu kippin, because you can't be toivel in the kippah, because not tefillah ba'avir. So that's shanemo, kamashmal, and the mission tells me that chedesh, that if Galsha Nitl, Shabbat, Boim Sonah, Yoshev, and Metzapeh, yeah, then it's a good field. So, Bekitza, Rav Nachman thought, Minotem, Rav Nachman is proving from the Mishnah Mikvahs that Rav is right, that Tvila for Chulin does need Kavana. But the Gemara says, Mimai, Verzok, that's Pshat in the Mishnah. Rav Yechanan, you didn't slug up Rav Yechanan. Rav Yechanan holds that Tvila for Chulin also needs Kavana. And that Mishnah could be talking about a case of Yoshev, Metzapeh. So, you can't prove anything from there. Then the Gemara just finishes off, yeah.
When we say that you need kavana even for chulin, so that negates the idea of falling into a river or a body of water. What
right.
happens if you go in just to cool off, or you go in just to take a go swimming or a shower or a bath? You had intent for going into the water.
That's on the last line. The Gemara is going to get to that. What exactly, how would you carry over the machlekes Rabbanosin and the Chachamim by Shechita? How would you carry that over to Tefillah and the Mikveh? How much Kavanah would the Chachamim say you have to have? So the Gemara says, Yod al-Hakir would also be good. We'll see on the last line. The Gemara talks about Shechita. The woman went in just to wash off a little bit, and she didn't have Kavanah to be Tevil. So we'll see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara is saying, the Gemara says, this next five lines are just like a footnote. How do you know that you can't be toivel ba'avir? Mm-hmm. You can only be toivel those parts of the ark that are touching the ground. The mikveh has to be mechubel lekarka. How do you know? Uminolon, the Gemara says, where is it? Umino temra, the line begins with the word temra. I mean, from where do you say temra? Umino, from where temra do you say the lo matbelina bekeep mevezok, that you can't be toivel in the part of the ark, the mikveh that's ba'avir, ain't tefillah ba'avir? That's a detanya. This is not a Mishnah, it's a Braisa. Detanya, matbilim b'rosh, mei matbilim b'kippim. Why shei matbilim b'avir? So there is no raya from the Mishnah. You did not disprove Rabbi Yochanan from the Mishnah. For the Gemara, so the Gemara says, so do we have any source to prove that Rabbi is right? Elafreg, the Gemara vayta, chulun de laboy kabana miyo amin olan. To where is there a raya to support Rav? The chulun doesn't need kabana, this not. You have a different Mishnah. The Mishnah, different Mesich, the Machshirin. What's a din? There are four categories of things that are mekabel tuma. Adam mekelim ochel mamashkim. Ochel is only mekabel tuma if it had hechsher. If you rinsed it off, kiyuta mayim alzera. The pasuk says water, and the Mishnah talks about the zayin mashkim. The yad, the Rashi Tev is yad shoch adam. The zayin mashkim are machsher lekabel tuma. So the mashkim are only machsher lekabel tuma. Let's say I threw apples into the river. So the water in the river is mechubel karka, so to speak. So that's not machshel lekabel tuma. Just like if the apples are still attached to the tree, they're not mekabel hechsher when it rains, and I'm happy that it's raining and it's cleaning off my apples. They're not mekabel hechsher when they're attached to the tree, and they're not mekabel tuma when they're attached to the tree. So it can't be. It's considered as if the water is mechubel. Water is not really mechubel. Mechubel karka means you have trees that are growing in the ground. So the water is not mechubel, but al-pidin is considered as if the water in the river is mechubel karka. So the Mishnah says, perish enoflu, letoch hamas hamayim. I have water flowing, and it's an amma wide and an amma deep, and they used to call that hamas hamayim. I dug like a trench, so the water should go from the river, from the ocean, to my field, to my farm. I should be able to irrigate. So the perish enoflu fell into the toch hamas hamayim. Someone who has a yadayim tmeim sticks his hands in, and he takes out the peiros. Yadav tahiros, his hands are tahar. Why? Because chulin, he stuck his hands in and didn't have kavana to be mitar the hands. He had kavana to pull out the apples. He's afraid the apples are going to roll away because everything is rolling. The water is flowing in that direction in this ditch. So he doesn't want the apples to float away. So he grabs the apples. So even though he didn't have in mind to be mitar the hands, because chulin doesn't need kavana. You are of tahiris. The peiros are the peiros huchshel lekabel tuma. No, ain't a mechiyutim. Why not? Because they fell in. Peiros fell in, so it's not machshel lekabel tuma. Then bishvil sheyutchu. But if he's happy about the fact that the peiros, how do you translate this? Rashi says he's taking out the peiros and he's happy that it's getting washed off. So it's clean now. And when he takes it out, now he's toilish the water. When the water was mechubel karka, it's not machshel lekabel tuma. But once he takes out the peiros and it still has the liquid on top of it, then the water is toilish and he's happy about the fact that it's cleaned off. So then there's huchshel lekabel tuma. The mishmil sheyutcho yarif tahiris anyway, because chulin doesn't need kavana, or peiros b'chiyuta. So it's a b'feiros sheraya. It's a beferish arayif and that Mishnah Machshirin that for taharas hayadayim you don't need kavan. It's mitar even without kavan. That was Omer Rabbi Yudah Marav. Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Freg the Gemara esvei rova the Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Nachman says that Rab is right that tvila for chulin does need kavana. Freg that there's a Mishnah Chagiga. Tova lechulin v'huchsek lechulin. person went to mikveh in order to eat chulin. He wants to be tohar. And that's toval v'huchzak. That's what he had in mind. So it says, osa l'maisa. He's not allowed to eat maisa sheni. Maisa sheni is a pasuk, l'biyatim mena b'tomi. You're not permitted to consume the maisa sheni when you're in the state of tumah. And so you have to have in mind, if you were tovlin and mikveh l'shem chulin, but you didn't have in mind maisa sheni, you're not allowed to eat the chumra midirabon, and you have to be tovlin again. Or if you were tovel for maisa sheni, then you want to eat truma. Not enough. You got to be tovel again. You had a mind to eat truma. You didn't have a mind to eat kachmi. You got to be tovel again. That's all chumras midirabon. So what do you see from the Mishnah? It says tovel chulim huchzak luchulim. You had in mind. Don't you say huchzak in lahuchzak loy? Only if you were tovel for chulim, you had in mind that this is going to be mitariyu. But if you were tovel b'li kavon, it sounds like it's no good. So isn't that a kasha against? It's a raya to Rav Yechanan that tefillah in the mikveh does need kavon. It's a kasha against Rav. So Rav will say, "Loi, dos anishkan kasha." Hachikama. The Mishnah means like this: Avob sheuchzak lechulin, even though he was tovel with kavana to be mitire him, but he didn't have kavana to eat maisa sheni. So osa lemaisa, he has to be tovel again before he wants to eat the maisa. That's what it means. Doesn't mean that in order to be tovel for chulin, you need to have in mind huchzak lechulin. Even if he had in mind huchzak, he's still not allowed to eat maisa sheni without being tovel l'shem maisa sheni. Frek digmar meisve, another Mishnah. It says beferish in the Mishnah. Guy's tovel in the mikveh. He didn't have in mind that it should be mitar, so it's a worthless. Kilo loy tovel. My love, simple pshat, kilo loy tovel, klal. Sounds like it's no good. So that's Rabbi Yechanan said like that. If you're tovel and you didn't have kavana, it doesn't help. You have to have kavana. Zog them, oh, no, when's kilo loy tovel a meiser? Means for meiser sheni is no good. For meiser sheni, for truma, for kachem, for paraduma. There you have all the chumis from the Rabban. But for chulin, the Mishnah doesn't talk about chulin. Aval tovel chulin. Aval tovel. Aval tovel chulin. Nachamal. Aval tovel chulin, period. Lo tovel the mice, aval tovel chulin. The one who is tovel didn't have a mind at all. It's no good for maiser sheni, for truma, for kachin, but it is good for chulin. So there's no kashif in the Mishnah. And there seems to be a ray from a Mishnah in Machshirin to support Rab's opinion. Sure. So the Gemara says now, who saw our Rav thought, Dichui komatchile. He thought that Rav Nachman is just easing his way out. Rav said, don't you see from the Mishnah in Chagigah that you do have to have huchzak? So Rav Nachman said, no, he was doicha de raya. Mishnah means, if you tovel b'li kavana, it's no good for my sushen. But it doesn't sound like that in the Mishnah. So Rabbi said, Rabbi thought, who saw? Rabbi thought, Dichui kamatchile, Rav Nachman is just getting him off his back, but it really is a good raya. Then Rabbi checked and he found that, no, what Rav Nachman said is the correct pshat in the Mishnah. Nafak tok v'yashkach detanya. Rabbi started to check it out, and he found there's a braisa, tava v'l'huchzak, muta l'chun, v'asa l'maisa. It says, beferish in the braisa. That's a pshat in the Mishnah. Yivetavu b'li kavana. It's good for chulin. But it's not good for Maisa Sheni. This lotion appears in the Gemara a lot. Nofak dok liashkach. He went out and he checked and he found that it says, where did he go out to? Where did he go to? He went to the library. So that's what some say. Even though Rabbi Yehuda Anasi edited the Mishnais, but it wasn't written down. Most of the Achrayim and most of the history books, right? The Mishnais wasn't written down until the days of Rabbi and Rav Ashi. And even though they had the whole Talmud Bavli, that Talmud Bavli wasn't written down until deep into the days of the Goinim. They didn't write it down until way later, and many of the Goinim were opposed. They didn't want to write down Talmud Bavli. So it was written down. So when they used to learn in the Beis Medrash, all the learning was Baal Peh. They used to have notes. They used to have Megillah Storim. They used to write private notes, but they didn't bring the notes into the Beis Medrash. That's what some translate. Nofak went out of the Beis Medrash, he went home to the dormitory, notes. And he looked in the notes, and he found that there's a braisa that says beferish. The Rav Nachman was in Stam Gehakta Chaynik. Matre, that's what it said in the braisa. The braisa interprets the Mishnah, tovel v'lehuchzak, is kilo loy tovel, means kilo loy tovel for maise, but for chulin it is tovel. So then the Gemara says, Abaye v'Rava were both students of Rabbi Yosef. The Amalei Abaye le Rabbi Yosef, le'metevi t'yufta de Rabbi Yechon ha'mehua. Should I say, we just had a Mishnah about the fellow was Tumas Hayadayim, a Mishnah in Machshirin. Tumas Hayadayim, and he sticks his hands into the water that's flowing there, So it becomes tohar, even though he didn't do it l'shem tari. He stuck his hands in to grab the apples that are floating away. So should I say that that Mishnah in Machshirin contradicts Rabbi Yechon? Rabbi Yechon says he brought that Mishnah as a support to Rav, that Tefillah does need Kavanah. Support for Rav is Akash against Rabbi Yechon. So he says, you're right, the Mishnah is against Rabbi Yechon, but this issue is not a machlokes that begins with Rabbi Yechon, it's a machlokes hatanoim. It's the old machlokes, the zelba machlokes by Shchita, is the zelba machlokes by Tefillah and Mikveh, whether you need Kavanah for the Matir. Do you need Kavanah for the Matir of Shchita, and do you need Kavanah for the matter of Tefillah and Mikveh? So that's what he answers. You're right, the Mishnah contradicts Rabbi Yechon. Omalei, Rabbi Yosef answers Abaye. Rabbi Yechon, who the Yomik, Rabbi Yosef ben Yosef, the Tanya, there's a brisa that you had, that there's a Tanya who says, Beferish, that you need Kavanah for Tefillah and Mikveh. Rabbi Yechon holds like that Tanya. And it's the same Achleik as says by Shchit. Okay, but in that next week, we'll have to continue. This week's parsha, the three malachim come to tell Avraham Avinu. So one malach comes to tell him the good news that he's going to have a child. He's going to tell Sarah. He's going to have a child. He's going to carry over Avraham Avinu's mission. Avinu's preaching monotheism. He's going to die. Who's going to maintain the mission? So he's going to have a son. And then Anshei Sdom Roim v'Chatoim L'Hashem Miyod, they were terrible. Ben Olam Lamok and Ben Olam Chaveh, they were terrible, and they were very prosperous. So if you have Rosh v'Tovlo, you have Rishoyim who are prospering. So that's a whole pircha against the mission of the Tzaddik Avraham Avinu, is working hard to pressure everybody to stop worshiping Avodah Zarah, to do Chesed and kindness and everything. And these people are Anshei Sdom Roim v'Chatoim, and they're very prosperous. So the second Malach says, we're going to wipe out the whole city's dome. And everybody's going to see that crime doesn't pay. If you do Averis, you're going to be punished Menah Shemayim. So Avraham Avinu should have been happy about that. He's life's mission. He's preaching monotheism. So he says, you're going to have a Memaleh Mokim. Your own son is going to be born. And not Yishmael from the Hagar. You're going to have your own son from Sarah. And then Rishayim are going to be punished. So Avraham Avinu knows that that's in his benefit, that his preaching will be successful. But still he pleads with the Rebbeinu Shalom, have rachmanus on Anshei Sdom, you shouldn't kill him, even though this was detrimental to his mission in life. So the Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about to reveal it to Avraham Avinu, that he's going to destroy the city of Sdom, two of the three malachim were coming. One was going to tell Avraham Avinu is going to have a son, that his mission is going to be perpetuated. His son is going to be Malach Malkim. The other was going to tell him they're going to wipe out the city's dome. Also, the mission of Avraham Avinu will be more successful. But the Rebbeinu Shalom feels he has to tell Avraham Avinu what's going to happen. So the Pasuk says, Vashem Amar, Hamachas Ani Me'Avraham Asher Ani Oseh. So is it right that I should keep it a secret from Avraham Avinu? Avraham Hayo Yeh L'Goy Gadol, and so on. So the Pashup Shat and the Pasuk is it right? Chasani, is it right that I'm not going to notify Avraham Avinu what I'm going to do? That's the Pashup Shat. Hamachasani. So the Medrash Rabbah has a different interpretation. The Baruch Shalom says, will I succeed in keeping it a secret? This man, Avraham Avinu, the Mishnah says, Kiyam Avraham Avinu, Kala Targul Achalai Nitna. Avraham Avinu observed all of the mitzvahs before they were given at Har Sinai. So the Medrash says, how did he figure out which are the mitzvahs? So the Medrash says he had Kloyos Yoatzos. He looked into the world and he figured out all the mitzvahs on his own. How can he figure out? Because the first Medrash says, all the opening Midrashim say on the beginning of Bereshis, the Baruch Baruch looked in the Torah, Istakal Bereis Bar Alma. So it's like you have a blueprint how to put together a building, and you look at the building, it can draw the blueprint. So because the Torah was the blueprint of the world, so Avraham Avinu looked in the world and he looked with penetrating eyes, with analysis, and he figured out the mitzvah. So the Medrash says, will I succeed in keeping it a secret of Avraham Avinu? This man figured out all the Taryag mitzvahs on his own. He had Kloyos Yoatzos, and he figures out every day the angels, are Mechadish and the Bezon Shamayim. Every day the Mechadish things every day in the Bezon Shamayim. Avraham Avinu figures out all the secrets. Avraham Avinu is going to figure out the secret anyway, that I'm going to destroy Sodom. So I may as well tell him. That's the pshat. Hamachasa not, is it proper that I keep it a secret, but rather, will I succeed in keeping it a secret? He's going to figure out anyway. So it won't be a chiddush. I better tell him. So Ibn Hisham tells him, and then he's in the spalo for Anshei Sedai. We wouldn't do that. We probably would not do that. If someone is going to drop a bomb on all the Palestinians, I don't know if we would lift a finger to stop. But Avraham Avinu was a holy tzaddik, and even though it was detrimental to his mission, all the Rishonim point that, even though the existence of stone being successful, the Pesukim Meniyov say that they were Afrezov, they were very rich, they were very wealthy, extremely successful. It was Mamish Rosh HaBetovlam. And that was detrimental to his mission in life, to preach monotheism. So still, they were human beings, and he felt Rachmanis were human beings. We're supposed to be following in his footsteps, okay? You have to follow Avraham Avinu. Anybody appeal?